Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in the studio to be able to answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, indeed, questions from around the world that come into the Christian Research Institute and are asked on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can contact the ministry on the web at equip.org. You can write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can talk to Resource Consultants live at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Also, when you want to ask a question on the show, Monday through Friday, you can call 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But all that we do here at the Christian Research Institute, our ministries around the world would not be possible without people standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. It's a battle that rages. It's a spiritual war, and the casualties are many. But the fruit that you can bear is very significant as well. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In other words, your heart follows your treasure. And I say all that to say that it would be wonderful if some of you would decide today to become a CRI support team member, which means that you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute on a regular monthly basis. In appreciation for your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And with that, we'll go right to the phone calls. I have a lot of people hanging on. First up is Tyreek. He's listening in Richmond, Virginia on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Hank. I just wanted to say that I'm very grateful that you allow the Lord to use you in a mighty way. I have a belief that if we as people knew better, then we could do better. So I thank God for you speaking the truth. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for those kind words.
Yes, sir. My question to you is, I know that time is precious. My original question, I'm going to change, and I'm going to ask you, I would like to know your view on the mark of the beast. I've been doing a lot of research on the mark of the beast and that speculation about 2017 that we're supposed to all be microchipped and people are being microchipped now. But the question is, the Bible says that if you receive the mark on your forehead or your right hand, that you will not be able to inherit the kingdom. And I was having this conversation with my father or my dad, and my dad said to me, "Well, son, so what are you supposed to do if the currency goes digital?" Which I don't know if you, I'm sure you have insight on this, but I just would like some clarification on it, because if the currency went digital and we, you know, have to obviously use money to pay for things, what exactly is going on with that?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to recognize that biblically the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. Just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation 14 symbolize identity with the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. So that's what's going on in the book of Revelation. There's no need for anyone to think that this is going to be a visible mark on someone's forehead, because when Jesus says that on him who overcomes, he will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. I will also write on him my new name. Doesn't mean that you're going to have a whole lot of scribbling on your face. What the forehead and the hands are symbols of a person's belief and behavior. In other words, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. And therefore, John's reference to the mark of the beast in Revelation is securely tethered to Scripture. The notion that the mark of the beast is some kind of a silicon microchip has no biblical basis whatsoever. The other thing that should be noted is that the beast is a first century character, and the reason we know that is John is writing to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, people who are being told that they are to proclaim Caesar as Savior and Lord. And he is telling them that they will be able to identify the number and the name of the beast. Now, obviously, if it was a 21st century beast, they wouldn't be able to identify something that's going to happen 20 centuries hence. So it's talking about a beast in their generation.
Yes, sir, Dr. Hink. I definitely appreciate you clarifying that, because there are all of these documentaries and conspiracies and everyone saying, hey, that we're moving towards the generation we are now. It's a technological one. So now everything is microchip, and they're even implemented that with, like, I have a 3-year-old son, but if my wife wanted to have another child, you know, this whole Obamacare and everything, that everyone's going to have to get these chips. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, if we can't spend money without a chip, what do we do? So I'm just under the impression that the microchip was the beast.
Yeah, and I don't think that we need to worry about that either for other reasons. In other words, the fact that there was a real beast, someone who was so beastly and terrifying that they assumed that moniker rightly, does not mean that there are not going to be men of sin or antichrist figures in our generation. You think about some of the tyrants that have lived in the 20th century, and some even in the 21st century. There's no reason to think that we're going to be immune from tribulation or suffering. But why don't we fear that? The reason we don't fear that is, number one, sufficient unto the day are the cares thereof. And God gives us enough light to take another step, and then to take yet another step. He doesn't blaze a floodlight down the trail of our lives. And what happens when we face tribulation is God gives us the grace we need. I was mentioning earlier this week a friend of mine, Jad, who diagnosed recently with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, 70% of his intestines compromised. 3 weeks ago, he was a healthy guy, as far as he knew. He didn't know anything about this. As far as he knew, he was perfectly fine. And now he's facing this great tribulation, but he's doing it with the grace of God. And to watch it unfold is absolutely incredible. I think to myself, wow, could I do what he's doing? Could I say what he's saying in his condition? But when I say that or think that, I forget that God has given him the grace that he needs when he needs it. And so it will be with us.
Yes, sir. Dr. Hank, thank you for your time. Before you go, sir, I have a lot of questions. Like you, I yearn for truth, and I try to teach people a lot about the Bible and Scripture. But I have questions, and is there a way that I could email you or contact a website if I had some questions that maybe I could ask you offline or whenever you could get to them?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have our website, equip.org, and we try to get to as many of those questions as we possibly can. But yeah, just email us there and let us know when you do that you've talked to me on the air.
Yes, sir, and I'm definitely a supporter, and I definitely will start giving more to the ministry, because I appreciate what you do. Thank you, sir.
Hey, you got it, Tyreek. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dan. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Dan.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your radio program. Here's my question. Prior to my salvation, I lived a life of hideous sin and hypocrisy. the consequences for those sins were the loss of my wife, my children, my job, my reputation, and all of my friends have turned their back on me. I feel as though I'm much like the old Judean king Manasseh, who has now returned from captivity. But I wonder, what does the Bible say about reformed sinners who just want to move forward in the right way? What is the encouragement, what is the recommendation that Scripture gives for people like me?
Yeah, great question. And I'd first say to you that there are other examples that you could look at in Scripture. You think about King David, who took a census against the will of God, who had Uriah the Hittite killed on the battlefront so that he could take his wife. David confessed his sin and recognized God was just and right and would forgive him his sin and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. But as you have properly diagnosed, there are always consequences that follow sin. And David was well aware of that as well. So he said, "Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." Or he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me." He also says, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean." So he prays and recognizes that God will use him in spite of his egregious sin. But the consequences are clearly communicated in Scripture. The sword never left his family. And that's why we can say as believers, yes, we can sin and ask God for forgiveness, and he forgives, but we can't sin in a cavalier fashion because consequences follow. And you just very beautifully articulated that. So what you do now is you forget that which is behind and you press on. To the extent that you can make reconciliation with broken relationships, you seek to do that. In the meantime, you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came for sinners just like you and just like me.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That's extremely helpful, and that's advice I will try to follow.
Amen. Good talking to you, Dan. May God give you grace as you continue the journey.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Matthew in St. Peter's, Missouri. Matthew's listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks.
You're welcome.
My question is, I've been studying Revelation and the difference between spiritual Israel and the nation of Israel kind of comes up, with today's events and things like that. I've heard you talk about it before, but I wanted you to maybe elaborate a little bit more on that. It was kind of confusing to me, and it kind of seems like we should be, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we're really Israel. I mean, we're grafted in. I mean, it's not really a land or nationality that has anything to do with it, but I wanted your take on that. And
well, I don't know that I can say it much better than you just said it, because first of all, you rightly point to Paul's illustration of a cultivated olive tree, at least allude to it. The tree symbolizes Israel. Its branches symbolize those who believe, and its root symbolizes Jesus, the root and the offspring of David. Natural branches broken off represent Jews who reject Jesus, and in the illustration, wild branches grafted in represent Gentiles who receive Jesus, and thus Paul can say in Romans, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Jesus is that one genuine seed of Abraham, and all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross. And you're also right to say that this is not a matter of race, it's not a matter of genealogy, but it's a matter of relationship to our resurrected Redeemer. So what we have in Scripture is a very clear indication of a spiritual seed, and the promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed, that spiritual seed being the royal seed, Jesus Christ. Not seeds plural, but seed singular, meaning one person, again, Jesus Christ. But the double entendre is when you read through Galatians chapter 3, Paul then explains, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and then you are an heir according to the promise. So, in essence, the faithful remnant of Old Testament Israel and New Testament Christianity are together the one genuine seed of Abraham and thus heirs according to the promise. I've written about this in various places, including my book, The Apocalypse Code, where I go into a lot of detail on this. Now, that book available, you can find it on the web at equip.org. You can also talk to one of our resource consultants or just hang on. The number to talk to the resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, remember, this is a ministry that is supported by listeners that, just like you, without you, we can't do what we do. So we appreciate those who support this ministry on an ongoing basis. Whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory. Be right back.
Mandarin, Spanish, and English are the world's three mega languages. Yet very few resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults are available in Mandarin and Spanish. CRI's Going Global initiative seeks to provide millions of Christians with these much-needed resources in their native languages. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. CRI's Going Global initiative will equip Christians in the Global South, including Asia, Africa, Latin America, and Oceania. The Going Global initiative will provide materials on apologetics, biblical literacy, and cults, all in their native language, Mandarin and Spanish in particular. As a thank you for your prayerful and strategic gift today, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Pray for the World. It's a wonderful resource for changing the world through prayer, and one we'll be using at CRI to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Carol. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, it's out of great respect that I ask your opinion of homes being blessed and the people within being blessed in order to keep away evil spirits or actual demons, so to speak.
Yeah, Carol, you know, there's a long tradition in church history of blessing the place that you live or your home. And so there's a legitimate way in which a pastor or a priest can come to your home and bless that home. In other words, pray over that home with you diligently, that home would be a place that radiates the love and the light of Christ. But there's also a prostitution of that tradition, and unfortunately we see that so often, where you have pastors that really don't know what they're talking about, going to a house and then binding demons in the house and thinking that demons attach themselves to particular physical objects. So they see a picture, say, oh, where did you get that picture? And then you end up telling them, and could be a demon associated with that, and that might be the cause of your problem, and then you have a picture burning ceremony in your front lawn. All of that is superstition. Demons are non-physical, and they don't attach themselves to objects. They do, as it were, sit on your shoulder. I'm speaking metaphorically. They whisper into your ear. Of course, they don't have vocal cords, so they can't really whisper. But what they are doing is there's a mind-to-mind kind of communication that takes place whereby you're tempted in a real way. And that's why we are told in Scripture to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against principalities and powers of darkness. But we don't do it through superstition or practices that are more pagan than Christian, but rather we do it by putting on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you can take your stand.
Yes. I had a prologue to my question, and that was that our family has been through now probably an 8-year series of what some would call bad luck. And I don't believe in luck. My family does not believe in luck. We believe in blessings. And when things go wrong, we feel that it's part of life.
Well, it's not only part of life, Carol, but also remember that God uses everything. Which is
to say
that the Bible says all things work together
for good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, to those who are the called of God, right? for his chosen people, for spiritual Israel, as it were, God can take even the years that the locusts have eaten and use it for his good and for his glory. So you look back in the past and you right. see things that have happened in the past, and now you see, wow, God is using that today because he's instructed me and taught something. Now I can bless someone else. So God uses all things for good to those who are his called and chosen people.
Exactly. We had this done, okay, because by a minister that we don't know, but that was a good friend of friends of ours that are very strong believers, and this minister came to our home and blessed our home, and his wife that worked with him said that she sensed the demons, certain demons in certain parts of the house. Now, is that something that would be legitimate?
No, it's not legitimate, and that's the whole point. I mean, you're not going to go to a dentist that that is not a very good dentist. You're not going to go to a doctor that's been sued 15 times for malpractice, and you're not going to go to a pastor that doesn't know the basics of spiritual warfare. To do so would be foolish. And
exactly.
What's happened is there's this fascination with demons in the culture, and that's led to a robust deliverance movement, even within evangelicalism. And the way this works is, well, maybe best described as a scheme, because whatever the problem, let's say the person is suffering from depression or anxiety or substance addiction or runaway sexual appetite. Well, then the minister says, well, guess what? This is a demon at work in your family, and I have expertise in dealing with it, so I'm going to take care of the problem. And not only that, but you're not personally responsible for this. Indwelling demons are at fault, and getting rid of these demons is the key to your moral and psychological redemption. So they have a deliverance session. It's kind of like, wow, I have the demon of lust and I get it kicked out of me. And then I say, whoa, this wasn't me after all. It was the demon that did it. So you're not personally held morally culpable. And when you're not personally held morally
right.
culpable, It leads to all kinds of problems, including you don't take responsibility, and on top of that, you've never really dealt with the real problem, so it's reoccurring. So this is smoke and mirrors, and unfortunately, it is a trade being plied by evangelical pastors that are sensationalists and sophists. I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And what I say in that book, in essence, is that if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Libby. She's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, listening on WTRU. Hi, Libby.
Hello, Hank, and I'm asking your opinion because I listen to you often and I appreciate your biblical wisdom. But I am a member of an ELCA Lutheran church, and we, as you know, as a national body, allowed homosexual clergy in an assembly in 2009 in August. And now the ELCA national body and the Senate in North Carolina are pushing same-sex marriage within the local congregations, the churches, and asking people to have a discussion and then move forward to allow their pastors to perform such same-sex marriages. And I'm very distressed about this because I think it is not biblical. It is moving away from the Bible. It gets far away from God creating the male and female and Jesus corroborating that in Matthew 19 and Mark 10. And just generally the homosexual aspect of it's always negative in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New. And I'm very distressed about this, and I wanted to hear your response about what is happening and how you feel about this.
Well, first of all, I mean, the moniker same-sex marriage is kind of like talking about flaming snowflakes. It's an oxymoron. And this is not something that we have to understand simply through special revelation. We can understand this through general revelation as well. The fact is that same-sex marriage violates natural law, the universal, morally binding law accessible to all people at all times through conscience and through reason, even apart from Scripture. And that's what natural law is. And marriage has an objective, it has an immutable nature. It isn't subject to change because some people in the 21st century think, wow, historical precedents no longer apply. Natural law has no significance.
That's what's happening now.
Right. And what marriage is the unique, permanent, comprehensive union of two people, one man, one woman, the natural end of which involves bearing and rearing children. So if you look at just the basics, the biological basis is to bring a child into the world to propagate civilization, always takes one man, always takes one woman, always, always, always. That's a matter of natural law as well. It's a matter of biology. But the other thing is...
I believe the biblical view of one man and one woman marriage, but this is being pushed on the Lutheran Church now by the ELCA powers, you know, the national and the state bodies. And
right, but because they are now sawing off the limb on which you're sitting doesn't mean that you have to remain sitting on that limb. And I would not want to be involved in a church body like that for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's a violation of natural law. Number two, all the sociological metrics point to the value of gender-differentiated parenting. And if you're supporting a church like this, what you're doing is supporting something that hurts the most vulnerable among us. So I simply wouldn't want to be someone that continues in that kind of a fellowship, because you have one of two things. You can either try to change it from within, which good luck, or you can go to a healthy, well-balanced church.
Exactly. Are there churches that are not following this plan? It seems like a lot of the mainline churches are moving this direction.
And a lot of the mega churches as well. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. What I was talking the other day on the radio about a megachurch pastor in Seattle, Ryan Meeks. I mean, he has the temerity to castigate anyone who doesn't hold his position in this regard.
It's totally against Scripture and what Scripture teaches, although some people say we have to reinterpret according to modern times, and that, to me, is just wrong.
Well, no. I mean, there's certain civil and ceremonial laws that were part of a theocratic kingdom, but we're not talking about civil and ceremonial law as part of a theocratic kingdom, but we're talking about natural law here, as well as special revelation that makes it very, very, very clear that that to fall for this is to fall for something that is going to hurt not only all of civilization, but is also going to, as I said, hurt the most vulnerable among us. Can't imagine that a pastor would want to do that, but who knows? You know, today it is about being politically correct. It's about taking care of yourself. And by the way, if you want to be a Lutheran, try the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I know they're not going for this.
Right. You're exactly right. Well, I do so appreciate your help in this matter, and I thank you for your biblical interpretation and being true to the Scripture.
Well, bless you. Appreciate your call, Libby. I mean, we're living in perilous times. The iron boot of the LGBTQI community is fairly lethal. I mean, they crush anyone that doesn't accept their standard of what marriage is and what it isn't. And believe me, we have just seen the tip of the iceberg, an insidious iceberg. I mean, it's not stopping at same-sex marriage. Mark my words, group marriage is on the way. We'll be right back.
Prayer is the fuel of global missions, and Christians can change the world through prayer. The book Pray for the World is a new tool meant to mobilize immeasurably more prayer among Christians. It utilizes the latest research to help direct Christian prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. CRI's Going Global initiative will equip Christians in the Global South with materials on apologetics, Bible literacy, and countering cults, all in their native language, Mandarin and Spanish in particular. We need your prayers and support to accomplish this initiative. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, please call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Matt. He's listening in Louisville, Kentucky, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Hank. I'm very happy to talk to you. I have a question regarding this Jonathan Cohn. He's promoting this mystery of the Shemitah. I have two questions. What and why? What is this Shemitah that he's talking about? I can't find it in Scripture anywhere. And number two, why is he promoting a Jewish tradition that it doesn't matter to anybody in modern day times?
Well, you've just about said it all. Jonathan Cohn's entire scheme is based on the myth that America is the new Israel. And the basic idea in Israel was that every 7 years, there is a Sabbath year that's also called a Shemitah year, a year of rest, like the seventh day of our week is a day of rest. So every seventh Shemitah is followed by a year of celebration. Seven Shemitahs, obviously, would be seven times seven or 49 years. So the 50th year is a year of celebration. And the Shemitah has also had four blood moons, according to Jonathan Kahn. So this is a really important Shemitah because it is occurring with these four blood moons, all of which allegedly have occurred on Jewish feast days, which allegedly has not happened in 2,000 years. And therefore, all of this is pretending some great dramatic tragedy that's going to befall America. Now, if you didn't follow the logic of Jonathan Kahn, you should feel very, very good about that, because there is no logic there whatsoever. He's holding America accountable to a law, Shemitah, all the while admitting that the law was binding only on ancient Israel. You pointed that out in the prologue to your question. He's clearly talking out of both sides of his mouth. He says, if the mystery of the Shemitah is still in effect, we might expect that there exists a connection between the Hebrew month of Tishrei and a collapse in the financial realm, as in a stock market crash. Now, it should be obvious to any thinking person, drops in the stock market don't constitute a Shemitah canceling of debt. So there's a huge category mistake here. But what's totally puzzling to me, honestly, is I see this guy on television shows all over the place and radio shows. I see him with James Dobson, and James Dobson is just foaming at the mouth over this, just like he did with Y2K. Then I see him with Glenn Beck, the Mormon. And Glenn Beck is buying into all of this stuff. This guy is a smooth-talking con artist, quite frankly, spiritual con artist. And it is unfortunate that there are it's hard for me to believe, honestly, but I just know it to be true. There are actual pastors who are promoting this book. Pastors, evangelical pastors. They know better. I don't know why they're doing this. I can't judge their hearts. I mean, I can speculate. But a lot of these guys have become masters at mining the subjunctive, cultivating the seed of threat buried in each unrealized instance. And that's what we're going to find out again at the end of September. When October 1st rolls around, people won't be asking me this question anymore. Unfortunately, many of them will be buying into the new con. Hopefully, there'll be some as well that have said, you know what, I've fallen for four or five cons. I'm not going to fall for the next one, and they'll finally get a true valuation of things.
Well, sir, my dad's church is buying into it hook, line, and sinker, and I made a statement that I've listened to all of his YouTube videos, and to me, it sounds like a bunch of gibberish, and I basically stated, Dad, we're not Jews, and this guy's a Messianic Jew that I don't think he's a converted Jew at all. He's holding to Jewish tradition and trying to project it on America, and it's just not true, and I can't make a point.
Well, October 1st, you should be able to make the point, because he's really heavily associated the Shemitah with the four blood moons, or the tetrad of moons, and that's all over on the 28th of September. That's coming up not too distant future. Kind of like Y2K. I mean, look at that. Y2K, you know, it was supposed to be a global catastrophe. It didn't turn out to be a top 10 news story in the year 2000. So as soon as the calendar year turned over to the year 2000 and nothing happened, people realized, whoa, I've been sold a bill of goods. And I mean a bill of goods. I mean, you had people like Dobson selling freeze-dried food and books and God knows what else. And it was very profitable for the ministry, but a lot of people made life decisions and were hurt deeply and permanently as a result of the spiritual con. Kahn says, by the way, that the effects may not show up for months or years yet. So he does give himself a little leeway, but he can't get out of it. I mean, he only gets out of it by talking out of both sides. The gullible can't be that gullible. I'm hopefully convinced of that.
Yes, sir. Well, I thank you very much for your answer. I totally agree with you. Is there any scriptures you can promote or cite that I can steer towards the misleading of the people by this guy?
Well, I mean, the word that comes to mind for
Second
me
Peter.
Is, well, yes, that, but also even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. Be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. There's just no way any credible pastor or person is going to promote this kind of stuff. On top of that, we actually did an article in the Christian Research Journal, which I think is up online now at equip.org. It's called Hagee's Magic Apologetics. The reason that applies is because Hagee and Kahn are both communicating the same kind of con with respect to the four blood moons. The fourth in the tetrad is the 27th, 28th.
Okay.
And
well,
by the way, we're also going to have an article on Jonathan Kahn in the Christian Research Journal in the very near future as well, so be looking for that.
I would like to get that, absolutely.
Thank cool. You. Good talking to you, Matt. And I want to mention that I'm going to be speaking at a Spiritual Life Conference this Sunday from 3 to 6:30 p.m. That takes place in Rock Hill, South Carolina. So if you're anywhere in the neighborhood, love to see you. I'm going to be speaking on Muslim, what you should know, or what you must know, I should say, must being the operative word. I'll also be answering questions live, just like I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So all that taking place this Sunday afternoon, 3 to 6:30 p.m. You can call 803-327-2009. Again, area code 803-327-2009. And you can check this out on the web at equip.org if you didn't get all that detail. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Solomon. He's listening in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Solomon.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a question on, you know, being born again. I was having a discussion with one of my friends on this, whether if you can be born again and kind of still continue kind of a sinful life, and, you know, especially in context of presumptuous sins. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think that Christians by definition are going to continue in sins without any repentance, because by virtue of being a Christian, what you're saying is I'm moving in a different direction. Repentance is an old English word which points to a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of the will. It doesn't mean that you don't sin, but when you do, you're not gratuitous about it, you're not cavalier about it, but you're deeply convicted by your sin, and therefore you confess your sin, knowing that He's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and then purify us from all unrighteousness. Of course, the Bible makes clear, if we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, a pretty serious word by John, and His word has no place in our heart. So we're all sinners, and every single day I start my day in my prayer time by confessing my sin. It's not the first thing I do in my prayer, but during my prayer time, I spend time confessing my sin. And sometimes I even in my prayer time quote Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin," and so forth. And the reason I do this is because I realize every single day I sin in thought, word, and deed. And the closer you get to understanding the holiness of God, the more you see your own sinfulness. I think that's why Paul could say that he is the chief of sinners. He had attained a level of relationship with the Lord that the brightness of the sun exposed the flaws and the sins in his life, and I think that's what happens. The more we get to know how holy God is, the more we see how unrighteous we are. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Daryl. He's listening in Kansas on KCVT. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, Hank. Good to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you.
I like listening to you more and more and more, Brian. I talked to you about this one verse before. It's found in Jeremiah 51, verse 39. Jeremiah 51. I'll let you flip over, type it in your computer so you can find it.
Jeremiah 51, yeah. I mean, this is a prophecy, a very famous prophecy about the destruction of Babylon. And all of this is something that takes place as a result of first the ascendancy of the Median Empire and then the Medes and the Persians putting out the glories of the Babylonian Empire. And that empire will never rise to its stature as the Golden Empire again. The Medes will first take over ascendancy and become a greater nation than Babylon, and then later the combined Medo-Persian Empire, and after that the Greeks and the Syrians and so forth, the Greco-Syrian Empire. So the point is that this is a prophecy against Babylon, and the kind of language that is used here is language, judgment language, against Babylon.
Aha! You answered my question. This is not talking about annihilationism, in other words.
Has nothing whatsoever to do with annihilationism. You know, when it uses the language of sleep and not awaking, remember, sleep is a metaphor for death in Scripture. Now, sleep can always mean that someone is sleeping, but the context lets us know about that. But sleep in this context is a metaphor for death. And in terms of Babylon, they're going to die as a civilization. The Medes and the Persians are going to put out the light or the glories of the Babylonian Empire.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the program. I'm learning a lot.
Wonderful. Appreciate your call. And of course, sleep is a common biblical metaphor for the death of the body. John 11 provides the clearest of examples where Jesus tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And the disciples say, Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get better. Jesus tells, speaking of his death, but the Bible's thought, the disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But the point here is that the Bible speaks of the body asleep in death, but the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death. As we close the broadcast, remember, we need people just like you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I can't do what I do. The Institute can't do what it does without your prayer and without your support. Given in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. We do need your support. It would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Out of here for today. Look forward to answering your questions next time with more of the show.
Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support CRI's Going Global initiative, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Pray for the World. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's Going Global initiative, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism. An age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.